We are nearly done with our Pentecost sermon series, My Neighborhood. We're going to be finishing up next week on Pentecost Sunday. And what we're doing, we're looking at this idea of what it means to be Christ-like neighborhood heroes, which works very, very nicely today because today is Mother's Day, when we honor and celebrate our heroes. Dads are heroes, but moms are heroes too. If you were growing up in the late 60s, early 70s, most dads were at work all day. So the adult neighborhood heroes were, guess who? Moms. I remember one very gracious mom blessed all the kids all summer long by letting us swim in her swimming pool, even when she knew that we weren't really there to hang out with her son, right? We'd come knock on the door, can Damon play? And she knew. And I wasn't even allowed to go over there in my swimsuit because that was too obvious. After school, I had to go in my school clothes and then race all the way back home and get a swimsuit on when she let me in her pool. Wonderful mom. My own mom. We had a basketball put up against the garage, and my mom has that issue where repetitive tapping sounds can send her into the next galaxy. And I know for a fact that listening to that basketball all day, every day, year round, and then I picked up tennis and started hitting the tennis ball against the garage door. And mom just quietly accepted it. And I remember thinking, this is driving her nuts. And I wasn't doing it to be mean. I just remember, I got to do this, and it is driving my mom nuts, and she's okay with it. And I loved her for that. Even as teenagers, we'd hang out at my house. All my brothers and sisters, we would all hang out at my house till 2 or 3 in the morning with my mom. It sounds very strange and weird, and it probably is. My dad would be calling from the bedroom about every hour. Isn't it about time y'all went home? We'd say, sure, Dad, yeah, go back to sleep. And it's a good thing, I think, that dads were at work, right? And moms had to be the gracious neighborhood heroes, because moms and dads, they bless differently. I don't know if you're aware of this, but they bless very, very differently. When you come in crying with scraped up knees, a mom blessing is a hug. They hold you. They kiss the boo-boo. They cover the Band-Aid. They cover the wound with Band-Aids. Just cover it with Band-Aids, and there's no blood. Right, but they're going to cover the Band-Aids because you think that that feels better, and she'll kiss, and it's a wonderful mom blessing. Dad's blessings are a little different. Stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about, and that's a blessing because that was like a warning, right? Get your act together or things are going to get worse really quickly. So I considered it a blessing. Not at the time, but now. Truth is, I think for most normal, loving families, and I understand and I get the fact that we all didn't get a loving, normal family. Not everybody gets that. Those who do are very, very blessed, and I recognize that, and I think along with all of us, we mourn those who didn't get that loving, normal family. Maybe it was the family down the block that you always wished was your mom and dad and your house and your family. So we recognize that. But for most, again, for most normal, loving families, love is behind the blessing. Right? Love is behind the motivation of the blessing. Loving moms and dads desire to bless their kids. And they also want to make their kids a blessing to others. Right? You want your kids to go off into the world and just be beautiful people. But as I mentioned, it doesn't always happen. But thankfully, on the other side of that, we worship a Heavenly Father who does love us, who desires to bless us and desires to make us a blessing to others. But we really struggle with that last part, don't we? Passing God's blessings along to others. Using God's blessings to bless others. Even good moms and dads struggle with this, right? You get something good in your hands and, oh, it's hard to let it go. It just is. We recognize that. But at the other end of the spectrum, and we're not going to go there today. We were here last week. At the other end of the spectrum, we looked at just how hard some folks work at limiting love and inclusion and not blessing others. In fact, as we looked at it, this is part of the story of the Good Samaritan, right? Story of bad excuses looking for a good reason. Legal expert wasn't looking for excuses. He had plenty of them. What he was looking for was a good, logically sound, legal reason, scriptural reason to not bless those he didn't want to bless. And I know we Christians, we do that a lot, searching for a passage, maybe a handful of passages to justify unloving attitudes, opinions that exclude others from God's blessings, totally ignoring overwhelming scripture elsewhere that says, bless, love, love, bless, bless and love. This morning, I want to examine an aspect of blessing I think that we sometimes forget about, which makes the struggle, right, to be the blessing to others that God intends us to be, just makes it way more difficult than it needs to be, way, way harder. I want to listen again to the passage we read earlier. The Lord said to Abram, this is Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Now, there's two different ways of looking at this blessing thing, all right? To bless simply means to invoke favor, right? Invoking favor. On the one hand, it's a divine favor, right? When God blesses, it's very different than when we bless, right? God's got some real mojo behind his blessings. To invoke a divine favor upon, may God's favor be upon you. And the way it would work is the priest would invoke the deity, and then God would fulfill whatever the priest had said. It was just kind of an automatic thing. That was the power of the priesthood. But then for us, it's a little bit different. It's a favor that we do for others. Will you do me a favor? Will you bless me by doing this for me? The blessing we offer can't compare to divine blessing, but it is important. It's incredibly important the way we bless. But super important is the way God blesses. And the fact of the matter is there's an incredibly tight connection between those two types of blessings we're going to look at this morning. As I mentioned earlier, our God is a blessing God, right? He loves to bless us. And he often does that through other people. In fact, the word bless is used 330 times. No, I did not go through and count that. I read about it, and I took it for a fact. If you want to dig into that this afternoon, give me an email. Let me know if my number's wrong. Beginning with the very, very first chapter, the very first book of the Bible, God is all about blessing. And throughout Scripture, that's what he does. He blesses us because he loves us, and he wants us to bless other people. After the physical universe had been created on the fourth day, God finished each of the succeeding days, 5, 6, and 7, by adding a blessing. Right? So on day 5, he creates the fish, creates the birds, and then he writes this, and God said that it was good, and God blessed them. Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water and the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. Now, the Hebrew verbiage makes it sound like the blessing was simply a reproductive blessing. But it was so much more than that. It was about abundant life. It was about growth. And when we get to the humans, we're going to find out that it also includes material prosperity, success, and just all-around greatness, right? Reflecting God's greatness. But on the sixth day, something strange happens. After creating all the things that move about on the ground, all the wild animals, the livestock, and all the creepy crawlies, and God saw that it was good. You notice something missing. He blessed the birds and the fish. He doesn't bless the land animals. Odd. But then he continues on the same day, on the sixth day, after creating humans, the blessings continue. Verse 28, God blessed them after creating humanity, men and women, male and female, he created them. And then he said to them, be fruitful and increase. Same exact phrase, right? Same exact phrase. Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Now, two explanations. I mean, there's like 10 of them. Some of them got pretty wild as to why the animals weren't blessed, right? One reason is just stylistic. Right, the writer, he had one blessing for each day, and it was kind of odd to have a blessing, then two blessings, and then one blessing. That is the opinion of many theologians, not all of them. There's another really intriguing opinion out there that I thought was just amazing. It's a very, very challenging possibility. Working closely with all creatures, listen carefully, working closely with all creatures, both domesticated and wild, humanity was given authority and responsibility to be the blessing party. Kind of in that culture, to bless fish And birds, who knew where they go, come and go, no idea. But the land animals, the humans could kind of follow, could see the migratory pattern. We could see everything. And in a position to either bless or not bless, right? So God seems to be saying that he will partner with humanity to bless the animals living on the earth, right? God did the blessing for the more migratory, like I said, the impracticality of husbandry of fish and birds of that day. Now listen, this is amazing. Listen to verse 29 and 30. It says, "Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all..." Y'all catch that. We're meant to be vegetarians. I know. Depressing. We'll move along. "They will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." Everybody is eating green plants. Animals don't appear to be carnivorous. Right? Did you catch that? They were not a threat to us. We weren't afraid of them, they weren't afraid of us. Humanity is thus in a position to bless every living creature on earth. And the blessings will be natural because the animals are cooperating. They're not trying to eat you, right? They're working with God, working with you to fill the space that they've been given. And then, of course, on day 7, God blesses the day, right? One blessing for each day, 5, 6, and 7. Exodus 20, we find out why God blessed the last day. "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns." Right? You've got to ensure that your family, your servants, and your livestock also rest. That's kind of on you. You're responsible for them. The reason, right, God wanted all the earth's inhabitants to have a day of rest. It was a healthy thing, and a day of rest that we could focus on him and receive soul rest. Not only physical, mental, and emotional rest, but soul rest, right? Rest from striving, rest from trying to get the next buck, to earn that next dollar. Just one day of, no, I'm just going to enjoy God's company. But the blessings were ignored. And with nobody blessing anybody, God destroyed the earth, all but Noah. But afterwards, what continues? The blessings continues. "Then God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them," right, the magic phrase, "be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth." But now things are going to be different, right? Sin's messed everything up. Listen closely to the very, very next verse. "The fear and dread of you will fall on all the beasts of the earth, and on all the birds in the sky, and on every creature that moves along the ground, and on all the fish in the seas. They are given now into your hands." You're still responsible for them, right? But now they're not going to cooperate with you. "Everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, now I give you everything." Whew, breathe a sigh of relief, all of you carnivores. In other words, listen carefully. Because of your sin, you will now struggle to be a blessing to others. What was so easy and it should have been easy is now going to be difficult, filled with what? Fear. Filled with fear. What was once easy, natural, is difficult, challenging, just downright scary. But God's original command to increase and by extension to be a blessing to the earth's inhabitants still stands. Genesis 9:7. "As for you," magic phrase that pays, "be fruitful and increase in number, multiply on the earth and increase upon it." And this command follows us to this very day. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. This is in Galatians chapter 3. "Understand that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham when he said, 'All nations will be blessed through you.'" Right? Verse 2, chapter 12 of Genesis. "So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." And then in verse 29, "If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs to the promise." Right? You are in a position to receive God's blessings. And that is an amazing, amazing thing. Now, let's just take a step back. Sounds like it's simply a matter of one good deed, one good blessing, one good favor, right, leading to another. Kind of, you've heard the phrase, paying it forward. right? You do a favor for somebody and somebody else does a favor for somebody else, and there's just this very, 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 quite frankly, slow chain reaction. One generation passing along knowledge to the next, from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Joseph, you know, right on down to the Apostle Paul, right on down to Pentecost Sunday, right on down to us. But it's so much more than that. So much more than that. Let's look once again at the passage we read earlier. The Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country and your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. Notice, you will be a blessing isn't passive. And it's easy to miss, but it's not a passive verb. It's not like it will naturally happen because that day is long gone. Right? We did not bless each other, so God flooded the earth, and now we're kind of paying for it. It's not passive. It actually has to be a command, right? Automatic, it is not an automatic eventuality. And for Israel's neighbors, the promise to Abraham had both positive and negative consequences for them, right? All the promises were to Abram, but the surrounding nations are going to get affected, right? Listen to this. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples will be blessed through you. Now remember these two types of blessings, right? A divine blessing and a human blessing. They're different, right? They're comparably different. Our blessings as humans have limited value, right? They're good pointers, but they're not the best thing. See, here's the deal. Our blessings, we can't forgive sins. I don't know if you're aware of that, right? We can't do that. Right, and we don't give the gift of the Holy Spirit. So those are God's really special blessings that we simply cannot give. We can give information about them, and we can lead them to the one who can give them the Holy Spirit and forgive them of their sins. But we can't leave the job in our hands. Right? We are not the only ones to be blessing. We sometimes think, I have to take care of this person. I have to do all this stuff. I have to be the blesser. And I can barely bless my own family, and so we decide not to bless other people. And the silly thing is, we should have passed them along to Christ, passed them along to our Heavenly Father, right? He would give them the things that they need to live life abundantly that we simply can't, right? We can love them, but we can't do the things that God can do. See, God works through both our blessings and His blessings. Again, we cannot, through our blessings, forgive sin or give the Holy Spirit. Only God can do that. And this is the aspect of blessing that we forget, I think. Our blessings, our favors, are sometimes simply a means to an end. God's blessings, right? That's what people need, right? Our blessings move them along. And how does that happen? Because they see God in us. Right, if you go back to Leviticus, this blessing from Abraham from Genesis chapter 12, this is actually part of a priestly prayer. And the priests would invoke God's favor and God would deliver them, right? Give them salvation. Again, we think we have to do all the blessings, right? And if we don't bless properly and abundantly, well, people will continue to suffer. But that's not true. That's not true at all. People continue to suffer when we think we can supply all their needs. And we Christians, we kind of got a bad habit of doing that. Oh, no, we'll take care of everything. Come to our program, come to our church. That will save you. Like a denomination or a church can save somebody. Yes, it's the means that God uses to save people, but the church, you coming here, doesn't make you a Christian. It makes you sitting in a church. It's just a place. People continue to suffer when we think we can supply all their needs. But we've got to pass them along to the one who can supply all their needs. Right? And it's really a balancing act that God is calling us to. On the one hand, like John the Baptist said, we got to become less and Christ has got to become bigger. But does that mean we get them to the altar and good luck. Pass them on to God and move on to the next target. No, not at all. You know what happens? They become one of us, right? They become a follower of Jesus Christ and they join us shoulder to shoulder in blessing others so that others can find what they found. See, on the other hand, we don't want to abandon them and move on to the next target, right? Instead, they become part of God's blessing family. God loves to bless. He loves to bless us, and he loves it when we bless others. But absolutely crucial is that we don't stop at our blessings. Our blessings are limited. They are valuable. They are incredibly valuable. But what God really desires is not the relationship between us, is a relationship with him. And by way of that, a relationship with others. Because without God, this relationship that we have each other, it just becomes a problem, right? We can't sustain social goodness. It becomes expensive. It becomes very emotionally draining. Unless God is filling us with his Holy Spirit on a daily basis, blessing people becomes, we can't afford it, right? We're already empty. How can we bless others when we're not filled with any kind of blessings ourselves? And yet God has a kind of a plan, right? He will bless us. He will fill us, right? So that our face shines like his face. And then people will recognize that person's been with God. I want a life like that. That's what I want to be about. God wants to make his face shine upon us, right? He wants the world to see him. He wants the world to see us through him. How's that? That works a little bit better. Would you all bow your heads? Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much that you didn't leave it up to us, right? We have such limited capacity, and we are filled with selfishness. Father, and left to us, every social good that we would try to achieve would quickly turn into something ugly and self-serving. But Father, if we can pass on the gift of your Holy Spirit, that doesn't happen. Right? We have just an inexhaustible supply of love that just overflows our cups. So, Father, my prayer this morning is that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Bless us to the point where we just can't hold the blessings and we've got to pass them along to other people. Father, help us examine our lives. What do we have that we could bless others with? What could we pass along, recognizing that that's only a step? Then the ultimate step is when we sit down and share the good news, that there's a way back to God for them, and they're not hopelessly lost in their sins. And Father, this is fantastic news. Father, this is a blessing. So, Father, as you continue to bless us, give us courage to be blessing people. Give us further courage to explain you to them so that you can divinely bless them. And thank you, Father, for allowing us to be a part of your plan. We are blessed. Thank you, Father. In your Son's name I pray. Amen.